This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, September 20th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Political and national security tensions between the U.S. and China are high. But ties between Silicon Valley and Chinese investors, well, they're still pretty strong. American venture capital and private equity firms are continuing to raise huge sums from Chinese investors. And that's got U.S. officials concerned. Not just because of the scale of the funding, but because of the ties between some of those investors and the Chinese government. On today's show, our reporter Heather Somerville joins us to discuss the opaque flow of money from China to U.S. VC firms and what U.S. officials might do about it. That's after these headlines. Video game company Take-Two says hackers illegally accessed early development footage of its next Grand Theft Auto game from its Rockstar Games unit. The hack was disclosed in a securities filing Monday. Rockstar Games says it doesn't expect any long-term disruptions, and that work on the widely known game will continue as planned. In a post on a video game forum, the hacker claiming to be behind the breach also took responsibility for the attack on Uber last week, which gave them widespread access to the ride-hailing company's IT systems. We covered some of Uber's cybersecurity troubles in yesterday's episode, so if you want to know more, be sure to cue that up next. The next meme stock could be the software company Avaya. Fans of the company, including day traders who use Reddit and Twitter forums, have pumped the downtrodden stock up by 200% over the past month. They're facing off against a group of large fund managers, including Apollo Global Management and Ares Management, which could benefit if Avaya seeks bankruptcy protection. The standoff is a sign of the endurance of the meme stock trend that fueled the stock rallies of companies like AMC and GameStop. We report exclusively that grocery delivery company Instacart isn't planning on raising much capital in its upcoming initial public offering. Instead, sources say the vast majority of the listing will come from sales of employee shares. The move could help Instacart attract new talent and retain current employees by giving them more ways to benefit from their stock. The grocery chain Wegmans says it'll stop using its self-checkout app until it can be improved. Wegmans and many other retailers installed self-checkout technology during the pandemic to limit interactions between workers and customers. But now Wegmans says its app has made it too easy for shoplifters to steal. Despite the hurdles, our Consumer Trends reporter Rachel Wolf says customers are likely to see more, not less, of this kind of tech in the coming years.
The industry analysts I spoke to said tech is still more of a dream than a reality. Right now, it's still pretty expensive. You're not seeing wide-scale adoption, but more and more retailers are experimenting with it. About 8% say that they're planning to try smart carts in the next year. Whole Foods just opened its first Just Walk Out grocery store that's a little bit bigger than the Amazon Go stores. So we're going to start seeing more of it, but it's not quite here yet.
And drugs based on CRISPR gene editing technology are getting closer to hitting the market. Last week, the biotech company Intellia Therapeutics said two of its experimental CRISPR treatments produced positive results in early-stage trials. Our reporter Joseph Walker says the company's progress is giving hope to investors, researchers, and patients.
It's been a technology, gene editing, that I think a lot of people have read and heard about for a number of years. But in the real world, actually translating that hype into a business and things that like people can actually use takes a lot longer and is a lot messier than we would like to think. And so it's still, I think, a long road ahead, but it's also a overall positive sign that these drugs are going to keep advancing in their development and maybe make a difference for patients.
All right, coming up, Chinese investors are pouring hundreds of millions of dollars into the funds that fuel Silicon Valley. We'll discuss what Washington is doing about it after the break.
This podcast is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm you share something with, listening. They take the time to understand you and your business so you get the best solution, not more noise. Start a conversation at gt.com.
Washington and Beijing are at odds over a number of issues, including the development of advanced technologies. But despite those tensions, this year is on track to be one of the strongest years for investment flowing from China to Silicon Valley. A new report shows Chinese investment in U.S. venture capital and private equity funds is on pace to reach around $880 million this year. That would be the second highest it's been in more than a decade, and it's raising concerns among U.S. officials. So what's driving the flow of cash, and how might the U.S. react? Here to discuss this is our venture capital reporter, Heather Somerville. Hi, Heather. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Zoe. Glad to be with you.
So huge sums of money are coming in to the U.S. from Chinese investors. Who are the investors behind all this funding, and why is there such interest in pouring money into Silicon Valley now?
Well, there has been interest for many years, and the investors on the China end are a range of investors. Some are private individuals looking to make a few bucks on U.S. startups. Some are Chinese government entities, government-guided funds, Chinese corporations. It really does run the gamut. On the one hand, I think there's plenty of investors who are interested purely in a financial return. U.S. tech has been a good place to make money for some time now, and U.S. venture capital firms that are taking this Chinese money have often performed very well over the last many years. But I think the point of writing about this now is that there is tremendous concern from the national security community, government officials across agencies, national security analysts, and people who work on investment security, that these sorts of investments offer the Chinese ample opportunity for a range of things that the U.S. government really doesn't want to happen. That can include overt IP theft from U.S. startups. And it can include something that seems a little bit more benign, but is also a national security concern, and that is the Chinese government gaining insight as into how U.S. startups are formed, how they're built, how they scale, how they end up being successful. Chinese investors who put money into a bunch of different companies in a particular sector, whether that's AI, whether that's semiconductors, can get this aggregated view of how a sector is developing in the United States. And this is what has alarmed the Biden administration and national security officials.
So there are a couple points I want to break down there. First off, how do U.S. government officials decide who's just here to make money and who is maybe looking for more information on U.S. tech or insight on how the companies are run?
Zoe, I don't think they know the answer to that question. I think that's part of the problem. That's part of the challenge. And in talking to government officials who work on this, they were very explicit that they have a huge blind spot in identifying who are the limited partners. Limited partners is the term we use for the investors who put money into these venture capital funds. Because they aren't disclosed, they're not press releases about them. They're really hard to identify, often intentionally shrouded behind multiple funds. So their identity is concealed.
Let's talk a bit about the report. Who was behind it and what was their goal?
The report was authored by two researchers who have specialized in Chinese geopolitical and economic strategy, and they have a small consulting firm in the DC area. And their report was published through the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, which is a conservative-leaning think tank in DC that does publish work on a range of issues, including China issues. And I think that they were trying to get like some type of top line number to raise attention to the volume of money that is still coming from China into U.S. venture capital firms, in spite of what one would think are a lot of reasons for that investment not to happen.
Have the funds that were named in this report or any of the companies that have received the money commented about this?
Yes. Yeah, so you can put them into different groups. There's the big funds that people who know Silicon Valley will know very well, Sequoia Capital, Lightspeed Venture Partners, and they have China affiliates who have a ton of Chinese government money and Chinese corporate money. And their comments are that their China unit is totally separate from their U.S. operations. If you talk to some of the smaller firms, their position is, well, Chinese capital is just a really tiny fraction of their fund, you know, 1%, 5%, something like that. I will say, though, in speaking to government officials for this story, something that they brought up was they don't actually care how much Chinese money it is. They don't actually care about the dollar amount. What they care about is what comes with that investment. Do these limited partners want quarterly meetings with the startups? Do they want access to technology information? Like, what else is wrapped up in that relationship? And also, do they have particular influence over the venture capital partners who are deploying the capital? And this is something that the Biden administration is really focusing on, in part through an executive order that came last week that tried to refocus CFIUS's efforts to identify potential investment threats that involved sensitive U.S. technologies. And CFIUS, just so listeners know, is the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States. It's a panel of interagency representatives who are in charge of reviewing foreign money coming into U.S. companies.
So Heather, for U.S. tech companies and for startups who might be receiving this money, what should they be looking at going forward? Or should they be concerned at all?
I think, unfortunately, there's only so much that entrepreneurs can do. I think they should start by asking the venture capital firms that they're in conversations with about fundraising who their limited partners are. I don't know if they'll get a straight answer is the challenge. I don't know if they'll get the information that they need or they want to make a decision. But I just think in general, awareness for entrepreneurs that where they source the money is really important to their long-term success and the security and the prosperity of the company that they're building.
All right, that's our reporter, Heather Somerville. Thanks for joining us, Heather.
Thanks, Zoe.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please leave us a 5-star rating and a review wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.